Today's shiur is Daf Chaf. We will begin at the Gemara in the second line. Yesterday, we learned in the Mishnah that said that we're not allowed to roast meat, onions, or eggs unless there's enough time before Shabbos to become roasted. Now the Gemara wants to understand what is the definition of roasted, that I now can leave them on the fire. The Kama, how much is it considered to be roasted when Shabbos arrives that I can leave it? Amr b'lazar amr rav, k'deshi tzoylem b'ajoyim. The Mishnah means that there was enough time for them to become roasted before Shabbos, k'macha ben drusoy, the food of ben drusoy. Ben drusoy was a notorious ganef who used to cook his food only partially and eat it, and that is already considered cooked enough. Now there's a question, how much is Machal Ben Drusoy? Rashi here says that Machal Ben Drusoy is a third cooked. The Rambam says that it's a half cooked. So what is it? So the Poskim Paskin that when we're dealing with a Shaila of a Deraisa, we always go L'chumra. And if it's a Chumra to say a third, we'll say a third. If it's a Chumra to say a half, we'll say a half. When we're dealing with a Shaila of a Drabbanon, then we'll go L'kula from these two Shitas. Itman Nami, Amar of Asi, Amar of Yochanan, Kol Shemachal Ben Drusoy, any food that's been cooked by a Jew to the degree that it's already a Machal Ben Drusoy, and by Bishim Bishulin Nakrim, there's no problem about food that's cooked by a Goy. Because the halacha is that unless a food is edible raw, or it's a food which is Eina Oyla Shulch Malachim, food which cannot be eaten, which is not eaten by kings, not a chosh of a food, we're not allowed to eat the food if it's cooked by a guy. However, let's say the food was already cooked to the degree of Machal Ben Drusoy, and now a guy completes the cooking, the halacha is that we are allowed to eat the food. So now, that's what the Brahma is saying, that we have the same concept of Machal Ben Drusoy. Tanya, Chananya Oymar. Kol Shemachal Ben Drusoy, any food that's really cooked to the point that it's Ben Drusoy, Mutal HaShesu Gab Akira. You're allowed to keep it on top of Akira. Akira was a type of stove that they used to have in their time. We're going to talk about it a lot later in the Masechta. They had room on it to put one pot on top of it. Vavav Hishen Grufa Ketuma, even though the Grufa is not shoveled, they haven't shoveled away the coals, or they haven't covered them up, still it's mutter. Now, this is very interesting, because as we're going to learn later in the Masechta, there are other Tanoim that argue on Chananya, and that they say that in order for food to be left on an oven that is not grufa ktuma, the food has to be fully cooked. And here we're saying that we're passing like Chananya. So the Sfasemis and other Mefarshim explain that it's not that Rebbe Lozer Amarav necessarily follows the view of Chananya, because they're talking in a case of food cooking on Akira. Here we're talking about a case of roasting. Roasting could be that even the ones that argue in Chananya agree that once the food is cooked to the degree of Ben Drusoy, nobody's going to be mechate gecholim. But it could be that uncooked, there we have no raya what the halacha will be. The Sfasemis asks another question. When we discuss over here the shear Machal Ben Drusoy, is that strictly guarding meat? Since it can't be eaten raw, only roasted, and we're saying that once it's cooked to the degree of Machal Ben Drusoy, and it's edible, so therefore there's no mechashash yichat b'gecholim. What about, he asks, an egg that could be eaten raw? In those days they ate a lot of raw eggs. And this person went and he decided that he wants to eat a roasted egg. So what's he showing, says the Chasfas Emes, that he is interested in roasted. And roasted is only when it's completely roasted. It could be an egg, says the Sfas Emes, he asked the question, doesn't answer it, would be worse than meat. And by meat, that halacha would be, like we just learned in our Gemara, that a machab and rasoi is enough not to have the chashash hashem yichat b'kholim. By an egg, you may have to have completely roasted. We also learned in the Mishnah, einos napas, we're not allowed to put bread in the oven before Shabbos, unless there's enough time for the surface to get crusty before Shabbos. And Rabbi Elazar said, there must be enough time for the bottom to become crusty. Iboilhu. So, they asked the Shail, what does Rabbi Elazar mean by the bottom? Because as we said many times, in those days the bread was baked by putting the dough on the wall of the oven. So now we don't understand. What does Rabbi Elazar mean by the bottom? Does he mean the pot that's put against the oven wall, which is going to be the bottom of the bread after it's baked? Or is it the outer surface, which is the pot that faces downwards towards the fire at the time of baking? And that's the pot that becomes crusty before the pot that's on the wall, because it's so close to the fire. Toshma, so the Gemara answers, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Kedei Sheyikmu Paneiha Medvakim B'Tanur. It has to be enough time for the surface that it's pasted against the oven to crust. So the way Tosfos understands Rashi's explanation of the Gemara, he understands that Rabbi Elazar is coming to tell us a chumrah over the Tanakama. That the Tanakama holds that it's enough that the pot facing the oven should crust before Shabbos. Wherever Rabbi Elazar is going to hold that the surface pasted against the wall, that has to crust before Shabbos. It's a later time. It's interesting, if we look into the Rabbeinu of Avadim Bar Tanur on the Mishnayis, he disagrees in Rashi. And he holds that the pot that is on the wall, that pot is the pot that crusts first. Why? Because since the walls of the oven are very hot, they cause the pot of the bread touching the oven to crust first. Masha'en kein, the other pot goes later. Rabbi Kivega asks a very poshut question. How could there be a machloikis in a metzias? How could there be a machloikis in a fact? What crusts first, the pot on the wall or the pot against the fire? Let's do an experiment. Let's bake bread and see what happens first. So he says, very nice. He says, Rashi's talking about an oven that the coals have not been grufa k'tuma. So since there's a hot coal there, certainly the pot that's facing the fire gets baked first. However, Rabbi Tanura is talking about an oven which is grufa k'tuma. So since the coals aren't so significant there, the pot that's touching the wall crusts first. This shaila has repercussions la loch la maisa, because the loch is that when we cut a bread, we're supposed to cut the bread by karma paneh, the place that crossed it first. Now we need to know which place crossed first. That's why the minig is to cut the bread on the challah on the side, you get the top and the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah, Mishashnos Pesach, we could lower the karma Pesach even right before night, even though it's not cooked. Ask the Gemara, my tama. Meat, we just said, you can't let that happen unless it gets roasted before Shabbos. And here we said that you're allowed to. And says the Gemara, Mishum Dem Nechabur is reason him. Because the members of the Pesach group are going to be careful and to make sure that they don't make a mistake. Lav Hochi, Loi. So why do we infer from our Mishnah? If not for the fact that we have the special halacha pay Pesach of Nechabur is reason him, it would be Osir to put the meat of the Karban Pesach into the oven right before Shabbos. As the Gemara Mar, we learned yesterday, Gadya, the meat of a kid, Bein Sorek, Bein Loi Sorek, whether the oven is sealed or not sealed, Shab Dami, you're allowed to let them leave the meat in the oven right before Shabbos, because we're not concerned you're going to stoke it because you're going to ruin the meat. Answers the Gemara Hassam, the Gemara that we spoke about yesterday was Mintach, is where the meat is cut into pieces. When the meat is cut into pieces, given the fact that the meat is both tender and it's also cut into the pieces, the draft created when the oven is opened can ruin it. Hocha, however, we know the Karban Pesach had to be roasted whole. And loy mintach, since it's not cut into pieces, even though it's kid meat, the draft will not be harmful, and therefore we have to be machmir. It's very interesting, the Mefarshim ask, here we say that since by Karman Pesach it's brought with a group, Bnei Chabura is Rizenhein, and they watch each other to make sure that nobody will do the wrong thing in terms of stoking the fire. So Mefarshim ask, is this a din in a group? And therefore, as long as we have a group of people, it won't necessarily be by Karman Pesach. Anytime we have a group, we don't have to worry because the people remind each other. Was this a din, Dafkin Karban Pesach, where, since it's Karban Pesach and it's a carbon, and we're dealing with Kachim, that's why we don't have to worry. It's an interesting shayla. Continues the Gemara. But machizens are, we were allowed to ignite the fire in the special room they had in the Beis Hamikdash where the Kohanim kept warm, close tonight. Ask the Gemara, Menoani Mili. From where do we know this? So the Pnei Yeshua right away asks that this is a very difficult lashon, Menoani Mili, because this whole shaila of being allowed to do something on Friday or not being allowed to do something on Friday because Shem Yichat B'Cholim is only a shaila of the Rabbanim. Menoani Mili is a question that we ask, where do we find a basis for something in the Torah? We're not dealing with the Rises. So he answers that what we're trying to understand is what is the halach on Shabbos. If on Shabbos we have a shayla of a deraisa, then possibly on Erev Shabbos we should make a derabbanan. But if on Shabbos there won't be an issa deraisa, then Erev Shabbos there won't be a room to make an issa derabbanan. So Amar of Huna, it says in the pasuk, "Svaru esh b'chamash v'seichem." You're not allowed to kindle a fire in any of your houses on the Shabbos. And the Gemara learns, "B'chamash v'seichem." Yatamaver, specifically in your own private houses, you're not allowed to light a fire. Aval atamar v'bemedurus beis hamikdash, but you can kindle fire in the beis hamikdash. Maskula Rav Chizda, ask Rav Chizda, "Ihochi, if so, that you are allowed to light a candle even on Shabbos, I feel the Shabbos not me. Why that the Mishnah should allow us to do it even on Shabbos? Why does the Mishnah say, speak only about Friday? Alam Amchizah, Kroki Asa, the pasuk that is coming to teach us, the Mishra Evaram B'dar Mudasa. It's only coming to teach us that you're allowed to burn these parts, the parts of the carbon and the fats, on the Mizbeach. However, any other fire, especially a fire in this room which they kept warm, is also. So now we're back to where we started. So why are you allowed to put this fire on? Because the Kohanim's reasoning. Since the Kohanim are very conscientious and they're careful not to do anything wrong, we could be sure that they won't do it on Shabbos. Now Tosfos asks that the pasuk says, "Oilus Shabbos b'Shabbatoi," and we learn from that pasuk, "Oilus Shabbos," the carbon of Shabbos is allowed to be brought on Shabbos. But not the carbon of weekdays allowed to be brought on Shabbos. That we have no right to burn the carbonus from before Shabbos and Shabbos. So, now we have a question. If the pasuk is come to tell us, what's the pasuk teaching us? That you're not allowed to burn your own private fire, but you're allowed to burn emurim. Which emurim is this pasuk referring to, asked Titus? If it's the emurim of the carbonus that were brought on Shabbos, those emurim we know are allowed to be burnt from oil of Shabbos b'Shabbatoi. If it's the murim from Kabbanis from before Shabbos, they're usur. So what am I learning from this pasuk? So Tosfos answers that we're talking about the murim of Kabbanis which were brought during the week. However, there's a difference if the murim already got burnt to a degree or did not get burnt. If they did not get burnt at all, you're not allowed to put them on the Mizbeach for Friday night. But if they already got burnt, then you are allowed to put them on the Mizbeach Friday night. And Rav Chaim Brisker explains what's the difference. So he says very nice. He says, as long as they were not burnt, they're called kabonis. And the pasuk teaches us, oil of Shabbos b'Shabbatoi, dafka the oils of Shabbos are allowed to be burnt on Shabbos, not the oils of the weekdays. However, once they got burnt, they become, the Rav Chaim uses the language in Bem Salosh and Harambam, lachmoy shem mizbeach. It becomes the food in the mizbeach. And the Pasuk of Meshveh Seichem teaches us that the food of mizbeach, that you are allowed to put on the mizbeach on Shabbos. So it's not because it's a carbon of the weekday. A carbon of the weekday you would not be allowed to put on the mizbeach. That's what Oil Shabbos Shabbat teaches us. But Shavu Seichem teaches us, food of the mizbeach, you are allowed to put on the mizbeach. So we learned further in the Mishnah, of Gvul and Kadesh Tachas. But outside the Beis HaMikdash, you have to make sure that there's sufficient time to fire to catch on to most of them. My Reuben, what's the definition of Reuben? Amarav, Rav Kol Achad V'Echad. The majority of each piece of firewood has to be konafai before Shabbos. For Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, Kadosh Shloyim Rahavi Eitzim V'Nanich Tatein. It means that the fire catches on enough that we will not have to say, bring more kindling wood to put under the firewood. That's enough. And Shmuel, obviously, is more makel than Rav. The only question is that the Mefarshim ask, according to Shmuel, how do we define the word berubim? Rubim means majority. So according to Rav, it means roev kalecha v'echad. However, how is Shmuel explain berubim? So Beleza Moshe Horowitz explains that the word Reuben, according to Shmuel, would mean ribui eitzim, bringing a lot of wood. That if you don't have to bring more wood, that's already considered enough. Continues the Gemara. Tan Reb Chiya l'siyu de Shmuel. Reb Chiya taught a brisa which supports Shmuel. Kadesh teshavus oil melea. It has to be lit that the flame should rise on its own. Filei teshavus oil aydei echer. And that the flame should rise through the assistance of something else. So some explain that this brisa is referring to the amount of fire, the mizbeach hachitzin had to catch before Shabbos. Others say that this brisa is really not talking about the mizbeach. The brisa is talking about the menorah. And how much do you have to make sure that the wicks of the menorah catch on before Shabbos? And according to this explanation, we're using the concept that we found by the menorah and applying it to the Beis HaMikdash. Eitz Yechidi. If you have a single thick piece of wood, Rav Omer, Rav Avyoy, the fire has to penetrate most of the thickness before Shabbos, the Amri Law, and some say, Rav HaKefa. You have to have the most of the circumference. Amra Papa, so Papa says Hilcha Binan, since we have these two versions, we require Rav Avyei, the majority of the thickness, or Bina Rav Kefer, the majority of the circumference. The Chazanish asked the question, here we're dealing with a Daraisa, and if we're dealing with a Drabonon, how come we're being Machmer, how could Rav Papa be Machmer and require Rav Avyei and Rav Kefer? So I was thinking of a teretz that throughout Shas, the Papa is the Mandomer that always says that when you have a suffix, you should do what both Mandomer say. We had a Gemara like that in Masech the Brochis. The Papa said, Amar Papa, Daf Chavtes, Nuntes, I mean, Amar Papa, Hiklich Nemvenel Tavayu, Zoich Nabris, Nemer Bebrisoi, Bekaim Bememoroi, by the Nusuch of a Brocha. So we see, and we have it in many other places in Shas, where Papa is always the one that says, Hiklich Nemer Tavayu. So it could be like this. If Pshat would be that we're going to be Machmer, so then the Chazanish is correct. Why are we being Machmer? We're dealing with Rabbonim. However, if Pshat is, the Rapapa's Mahalik was always to take and do everything to satisfy all sides. It's not Chumra. That was the way he stayed out of Machloikis. So then it could be we would do both and it would not be considered that we're being Machmer and Rabbonim. Says the Gemara, Ketanoi. This shayla, if we go with most of the thickness or most of the circumference, is really machlokes tanoim. Rav Chiya Amar, Rav Chiya says, "Kidei shiyachis eitz v'melachas umen." When you're dealing with a single thick piece of wood, it could be put on Friday only when there's enough time before Shabbos for the wood to be ruined by the fire, for being used for the work of a craftsman. That means the thickness of the wood. Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira Omer, Kedei She'oichas Eish Mitnei Tzadim, that's me enough time for the fire to catch on from two sides, which is the circumference. Continues the Gemara, Vav Bishen Ra'i L'Dover, even though there's no Peferish Pasuk that teaches us, Seich L'Dover, we do have some sort of indication from the following Pasuk. The Pasuk says, in Yecheskel, a snake tzoyis of ochle eish, the two ends have been consumed by the fire, the toicha nochar, and the inside has been parched, hayitzlach l'malacha, can still be fit for work. In this pasuk, the people of Yerushalayim are likened to a wild grapevine that does not produce fruit. Such a wine is inferior to other fruitless trees, in that its wood is not even fit for any work, but only for firewood. Moreover, the pasuk continues there, once the fire extends to both sides of the vine, the inside is parched, and even work can't be done with this vine. So for here we see that we follow the circumference. As soon as it catches on the circumference, it's already considered burnt. The question is, that the Ritva asks, this, why is this only a Zeich L'Dover? It's a Raya that we see that the circumference makes it burnt. So he says it's not a real proof because the Pasuk is only a mushal referring to the Jewish people and we can't use it as a full proof La'alocha. The Gemara brings down a Machloikis how to teach another Pasuk regarding burning wood. It says in Pasuk, V'sa'och l'fona m'v'aris, and the Och was burning before him. This is a Pasuk in Yirmiyah, which talks about Yehoyakim burning a scroll that was sent him by Yirmiyah that was telling about the Churban Yerushalayim. Ask him, my Och, Amarav Achvana. It means Achvana, which is a willow. V'shmul Amar Eitzim Shniklu V'Achvana. It means sticks of wood that were caught in a brotherhood. That means a bunch of sticks that are put together. Hu da Amalei. There was a certain person who said to those present, man buy Achvana. Who wants to buy Achvana? Ishtakach, it was found that, what was he selling? Arvosa. So we see that Achvana means willows. Amr Afuna. So Afuna says, Konim ain't Tzrichen Roif. When you have a fire made out of loose reeds, then we don't need that the fire should catch on to most of them while it's still Erev Shabbos. However, why? Because they're very combustible, and we're certain that the fire will catch without any intervention. However, Elgdom, if one ties them together, they do require, Tzrichon Rav, they do require that the fire catch on the most of them while it's day. Garinin, if somebody is making a fire out of loose pits, ain't Tzrichon Rav. We do not require that the fire catch on to most of them while it's still day. Nosten Bachoslois, if we put them in baskets, then we need Rav, because we're worried, since the pits are put together, the fire can't enter between them. Maskel of Rav Chizda, so Chizda asked the following question. Ad Rabbi, Avchim Mistabra, we should say just the opposite. Konim of Adram, when they're loose, they may scatter, and therefore we should require that the fire should catch on most of them. However, Ogdon, when they're tied together, Loim of Adram, they're not going to scatter, and therefore it should not require most of them. Garinon Mevadrim. Similarly, when the loose pits, so we have to worry, they scatter and the fire won't catch, and you maybe do it on Shabbos. Nosn Becholtos, but when they put it into a basket, Loy Mevadrim. It Menami, and that's why it was said, Omrev Kahana, Konim Sha'ogdom, reeds that one tie together require that the fire take hold on most of them while it's still Erev Shabbos. Loy Ogdom ain't Tzrichon Roiv. But if they're not tied together, they do not require that the fire take hold Erev Shabbos. Garinon, pits, when they're loose, Tzrichon Roiv, there you have to have that the fire should take hold while it's still Erev Shabbos. Nosim Becholtos, but when they put in a basket, then ain't Tzrichon Roiv. So, the Mefarshim point out that the language of Itmanami is not really accurate, because Rav Kahana is not exactly saying what Rav Chizda said. Rav Chizda said both by Konim and by Garinin, when there's loose, we should need that they should be on before Shabbos, and when there's tied together, we don't need it. Rav Kahana is only saying that halacha by Garinin and not by Konim. And that's why they take out the Lashon Nami, that he also agreed, just as Itmar he learned. Tanav Yosef, Avram Maduris, there's four kind of fires that ain't Srichim Roiv, that we don't need that the fire should take hold on most of it before Shabbos. What are they? Shal Zephis, made out of pitch, Shal Gofris, made out of sulfur, Shal Gavin of cheese, but Shuravav, made out of grease. Since these are very combustible, we're sure that the fire will catch. Masnitzin Tana, in the brass we saw, Av Shal Kashu Shal Gavava. Also, fire made out of straw, stubble, don't have to take hold from before Erev Shabbos. I'm Rav Yochanan, Eitzin Shal Bavel, wood from Bavel, also ain't Tzrichin Roiv. Do not need that the fire should take hold before Erev Shabbos. Maskel Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef asked, Maihi, what did Rav Yosef mean when he said Eitzim Shabavel? Elaim is silty, if you're going to talk that he meant thin strips of wood that were commonly used in Bavel. How could Rav Yochanan rule that you don't need a roi before Shabbos? Hash to Pesila. Now, if regarding a wick in a lamp, which is very flammable, Ula. So Ula said, Hamadlik Tzorov Shiyadlik Beroi Vayotzei, one that lights such a wick for Shabbos candles has to light most of what protrudes from the oil before Shabbos. Silta, then could there be any question, Silta Meboi, could there be any question regarding the strips of wood that you have to light most of them before Shabbos? Alamav Yosef, you know what Eitzim Shabbos means? Soicha de Arza, the branch of the cedar tree, which was very common in Bavel, and it's a very dry and thin branch, and it has such a woolly substance between the wood and the bark, which causes it to burn well as soon as it's ignited, and therefore we don't have to have roi before Shabbos. Rami Bar Abba says that what are you talking about? Zaza. We're talking about moss, which also is combustible, and therefore you don't have to have a roiv before Shabbos. Haran Lach Yitzis Shabbos, Haran Lach Yitzis Shabbos, Haran Lach Yitzis Shabbos. Before we begin the next parak of Bememed Likim, let's say a short Hagdama. The Pasuk says in Yeshayahu, the Kurosel Shabbos Oinig, L'kdoish Hashem Chubit. So from here, Chazal teach us two halachas in Shabbos. One is that we have to have oinig Shabbos, lekoros l'Shabbos oinig, that we have to enjoy Shabbos, and the other thing is that we have to honor Shabbos. K'doy Hashem mechubet. Now, as we're going to learn in this parak, it's difficult to enjoy Shabbos when the house is dark and a person can't see where he's going or what he's eating, and therefore, because of that, because of the chiyuv of oinig Shabbos, we have to light candles in the house. Others say the chiyuv of hadlakas neres for Shabbos is out covered Shabbos. A feast is always served in a brightly illuminated room, and therefore putting on lights is a mark of honor. And that's why a lot of people have the minig that on Friday night we say this perek about Mememet Likim, and the Mishnah Berurah explains, by saying this perek, a person will know the halachas of candle lighting, which, as we just explained, are so important for Oinik Shabbos and Kavod Shabbos. And also, there are other halachas about Medlikin, Raftem, Misartem, making an Erev, taking off Maisa. All of that should be done, should be said on Friday to remind us of these important halachas. According to this, it's important to say this parak before we daven Ma'ariv, because once you daven Ma'ariv in the Shabbos, you can't do anything, you can't light a candle, you can't do the other halachas. However, the Bach says that they used to say this after Ma'ariv. The reason they used to say it after Ma'ariv was that in case somebody came to davening late, and in those days, as we learned them set the brachas, the shuls were outside the cities, and people didn't want to remain in the shul alone, like that, by people saying by Mehmed Likin after Ma'ariv, the people who came late could catch up and they'll all leave together. According to the Bach, the Mehmed Likim should not be said Shabbos Chol Hamoed, because in Shabbos Chol Hamoed people didn't work anyway, so they didn't come to shul late, so there's no reason to have to say something which will delay the davening. There's a very nice verse from the Emor Emes, Bameh, the pasuk says, "V'nachnu mo." Moshe Rabbeinu said, "We are nothing. What are we?" But meh, if a person considers himself meh, that he considers himself nothing, madlikim, that's how he can ignite himself to avoid this Hashem. That's how he can come to avoid this Hashem by realizing that he's bameh. Begins the Mishnah. Bameh madlikim, remeh madlikim. But what can we use for wicks, for Shabbos candles, and what way may not use? Says the Mishnah, "Ein medlikin loy belechish." We can't use something from the cedar tree. The loy bechosin means flax that are not properly processed, as we'll learn in the Mara. The loy becholof, not with a type of a silk. The loy bepsilas ha'idon, not with willow. The loy bepsilas ha'midbar, not with a fiber that came from the desert. The loy berakish lebenemayim, which would mean sea moss. Now the Mishnah begins to talk about the fuels that are unacceptable, because they're not easily drawn into the wick, and we won't have a good candle. Like the zephes, now with pitch. Like the shava, now with wax. We'll talk it later about using wax candles. Like the shem kick, now with kick oil. Like the shem sreifa, oil that has to be burnt. We'll explain that in the Gemara. Like the alya, not fat from a sheep's tail. Like the chalev, not with tallow. Nacham amadu amin, madlikim b'chalev amvushal, that you can use boiled tallow. The Chama Imrim, however, the Chacham say, Echad Mevushal, whether it's boiled or not boiled, Amen Likim Boy, we may not use it to burn with, to use for candle. The first thing that Mishnah said was, you're not allowed to use Lechesh. What is Lechesh, says the Gemara? Shoychid Arza, the bark of a cedar tree. Ask the Gemara, Shoychid Arza, Eitz Balmahu, the bark of a cedar tree is ordinary wood. So it's obviously unfit for a wick. So what does the Tana have to tell us? Answer the Gemara, B'marinisa dispa. The Mishnah says that we're talking about the woolly substance that's in the bark, and even that you're not allowed to use. That's an interesting question. Tosfos asks that we're going to learn in the Mishnah that Hayotzim, later in the Mishnah, Hayotzim and Eitz, Eimadlikim, but anything that comes from wood can't be used. Elapishtan, only flax. So if this is what the Mishnah means, that we're talking about something that comes from a wood, from a tree, obviously it can't be used. The Mishnah is teaching us. So Taisus tells us that the law is that we have a rule in Shas, ain't let made them in a clothes. We don't learn halach from a general rule. And this is a general rule, that's something that we won't learn from, and that's why we had to mention it specifically. The law of chaisin, we're not allowed to use chaisin. Amar of Yosef, what is chaisin? Nurushal piston. This is something, part of the flax. Before the flax fibers are spun into thread, they have to be separated in a process which is called hackling, or can be called carding, which is really combing the flax. When you comb it, short broken fibers that are not suitable to make linen from them are separated. That's what the Mishnah says should not be used for the wicks for the Shabbos candle. Amalei Abaya, v'ksivaya chosin l'nurus. It says a pasuk, and the chosin will be used for burning. So we see that chosin is not nurus. It says the Gemara, Elam Abaya, kitten the daik v'loy nofetz. What is chosin? It's flax whose stems have been beaten, but whose fibers have not yet been combed. V'lai b'cholach, we learned that you're not allowed to use cholach. Am Shmuel, shaltin l'chol n'chosi yama, I asked all the people who went to see, v'amrali, what is it? Kolcha shmei. Its name is kolcha. It's a woolly substance that's found on stones in the sea. Rav Yitzchak bazirama gushkura. It's a type of inferior silk. Says the Gemara story. Ravin v'Abaye have yasu kamei de Ravna. Ravin and Abaye were once sitting before Ravna Nechemya, ach for the Resh Galusa, who was the brother of the Resh Galusa. Chazi davalosher is nataksa. They saw that he was wearing a silk garment. Amle Ravin l'Abaye. So Ravin told Abaye, hana klach de tnon. This garment that he's wearing is made out of klach, what we spoke about in our Mishnah. Amalei, ano shir parad nekrinalei. Rabbi said to Ravin, we call it pernadisok. Ask the Gemara on Ravin, Meisvei, says in a brisa, Hashroyim, begadim made from regular silk, v'sarikin, or from a different type of silk, chayav mitzitzis, achayav mitzitzis. Do we see the klach is different than regular silk? So how could Ravin say that the same? Says the Gemara, tiyufta, to Ravin, tiyufta. Ravin is taka, it's not the same. Ibayis ema, shira l'chud, there's something called shira silk, and something called shira paranda. Paranda silk is a different thing. And Ravin, who said that the garment that was worn by Ravin Nechemya as the klach of the Mishnah, and called it paranda silk, didn't mean shirayim, because that's something else. It's a different grade. The law of psil se'idon, the Mishnah said that you can't use psil se'idon. What is that? Achvina. This is the woolly substance that's found between the bark and the wood of a willow tree. Rav and Abaya have a ka'azla bepaksa de matarisa. Rav and Abaya were walking in the Tamarisa Valley. Chazin al-Ahar and Abasor, they saw some willow trees. Omle Rav and Abaya. Hain Eden etnan. This is the Eden that's referred to in our Mishnah. Omle, so Abaya said to Rav, and he ate Balma. That's just an ordinary tree. How could you use it for making wicks? Kolof. So then Rav peeled part of the bark off the tree. V'achvalei aminos de benibin, and he showed him the woolly substance, and he said, that's what I refer to. V'loi b'psilas amidbar. No, we're not allowed to use desert fiber. What is that? Shavra, which is a tall grass that can be braided and used for wicks. V'loi b'yroika shapnei mayim. What is that? Mayhi. Ilein uchmese d'charitzi, that the dark greenish substance, which is algae, if ruchim africhim, that easily crumbles. So it certainly can't be made into wicks. So that can't be what the Mishnah means. Elam rapapa, uchmese d'arba, it's talking about moss, which is sturdy enough to be made into wicks, but since it doesn't hold the flame well, it's disqualified. Tana. We learned in the Braisa, Hasifrin Lehem, they added to the Mishnah's list of disqualified substances, Shatsemer, wicks made out of wool, the Shaseya, wicks made out of hair. The Tana the Don, why didn't Al Tana mention these disqualified things? Because, says the Gemara, it was obvious to Al Tana that they should not be included. Why? Semer, Nichvitz Kovitz, wool curls when you ignite it, and say ichruchim mirchich, sair gets burnt up very quickly, so it's obvious that they cannot be used, and it was not necessary for our Tana to mention it. V'loi b'zefes, the Mishnah says we can't use pitch. V'loi b'shava. Zefes means zifta, zefes means pitch, shava means wax, kirusa. Tana, Nada Gemara continues, commenting on the Mishnah, at camp so psalis. Until here, until when the Mishnah talked about the sea moss, we were talking about the wicks. Mikan ve'elech, now the Mishnah begins to talk about psul shmanim, what oils are disqualified. Pshita, says the Gemara, it's obvious that when the Mishnah is talking about zephes, pitch, or zephes, or shava, wax, the Mishnah is not talking about wicks, we're talking about fuel. So what is the Tana of the Braisa teaching us? Answers the Gemara, Shava is tichalei. The disqualification of wax as an oil was necessary for him to highlight. Maritema, lepsilis nami lechazia. The wax is not even suitable to use for candles. Kamash Malon, from here the Mishnah teaches us the wax is only disqualified when it's used like an oil. But if it's used as a candle, that's a pash pshan the Gemara, it's mutter. We'll talk about it in a minute. Amar Ravin Bareva, Itrina. Itrain is psulta de zifsa. It's the residue of pitch. Shava, what is wax? Psulta de dufsa, the residue of honey. Ask the Gemara l'mayin nafkamina. Why did Gemara have to tell us that shava, which and zifsa, what are they? And says the Gemara l'mekka chamemker. It's teaching us for commercial purposes that somebody goes to somebody and wants to buy shava. He has to be the person who expects to get the residue of honey. And hence, if somebody contracts to sell wax, he only has to provide such residue, and the buyer cannot demand further processing, saying, I meant something more. As soon as we have the residue of a honeycomb, it's already considered shava. So now we learned that the halacha about different oils that burn and do not burn well, and may be used or not. So we spoke about shava. So as we learned in the Gemara says the wax is disqualified only when it's used as a fuel, but it can be used as a wick for the Shabbos lights. Now, there's a lot of different interpretations of this Gemara, which will have halachic ramification. Rashi and Tosfos explain that the Mishnah only prohibits the use of wax when it's used in the same manner of oil. That means pieces of wax are placed in a lamp and you stick a wick into it. However, if wax is fashioned tightly around a wick, what we know as a candle, it's permitted. The Rosh says that although wax is not easily absorbed, when it tightly surrounds the wick, as in a candle, it burns nicely and can be used. However, Tosfos quotes the Chachmei Narvoina, the wax is only could be used when it's mixed together with one of the valid oils. But if you have wax alone, even if it's used in a candle form, you will not be allowed to use that for Shabbos candles. The Tshuvas HaGa'onim, which is quoted by the Magen Mishnah, says that the Gemara only allows us to use wax when it's used as a wick, but not when used as a fuel. Now the Magen Mishnah says that the art of making lamps with wax wicks is evidently lost, because now we know that we only use wax as fuel, but not as wicks. The Ratvas says that he can't understand how scientifically wax can be used to make wicks. Also he understands, why does he consider the light of wax candle inferior, like the Chachmei Navoina said, when in fact we know, and we see it every Shabbos, people who use wax candles, that wax candles do produce clear light, and that's very choshva light. Therefore, the Ratvas says, perhaps in the time of Chazal, wax contained many impurities, which made the candle light of wax candles inferior. However, now that the wax is purified, it can be used because the candlelight that comes from wax is nice and those candles burn well. And therefore, according to him, you would be certainly allowed, according to Ratvaz, we certainly would be allowed to use wax candles nowadays. The Bach disagrees, and the Bach said, the Bach says that Chazal never meant purified wax, and certainly purified wax may be used, and that's the way the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, they Paskin like Rashi and Tosfos, that wax candles can be used for Shabbos candles, and certainly when we have the Bach and the Ratvaz, who say that when we're dealing with purified wax to make a nice candle, there is no reason that you can't use it for Shabbos lights.